Sexual harassment training clearly isn't working. As more victims speak out, employers, including NPR, are having to confront the failure of these systems. NPR's Yuki Noguchi looks at why they haven't worked and some more radical solutions.
Many employers require sexual harassment training. Most often, it consists of online courses, such as this one, which NPR requires of its employees.
The conduct must be unwelcome and also either severe or pervasive.
Employees really can zone out and not even pay attention to the training.
Patricia Wise is an employment attorney who also served on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's Task Force on Harassment. She says the primary reason most harassment training fails is that both managers and workers regard it as a pro forma exercise aimed at simply limiting the employer's legal liability.
You know, we've been checking the box for decades.
In its report on harassment last year, the EEOC admitted, flat out, that the last 3 decades of sexual harassment training haven't worked. Wise advocates face-to-face classes with realistic role play. But, she says, few companies want to spend the money and employee time because it hasn't been a priority. Also, Wise says, effectiveness is hard to measure, and companies have little incentive to study it.
If a researcher comes to your workplace to evaluate your training and the result is that your training is entirely ineffective, you've basically just developed evidence against yourself.
Elaine Herskowitz agrees. She wrote some of the EEOC's first policies on sexual harassment 3 decades ago. Now, as a consultant, she investigates harassment allegations and sees common pitfalls.
Maybe obvious, but it's critical that everyone in the organization undergo training all the way up to the top.
But Herskowitz says employers often exempt their leaders, creating the kind of double standard that leads to abuse of power. NPR, for example, requires sexual harassment training for all employees and managers. But the company says former NPR top news editor Michael Oreskes, who was fired recently amid mounting sexual harassment claims, did not complete his. Would training stop most incidents? Herskowitz admits she's skeptical.
I'm sorry. You have to know that you cannot just grab another person and kiss them without their consent.
Since nothing else has worked, the city of Chicago last month decided to put matters, quite literally, in workers' hands. The city's new law requires hotel employers to outfit their housekeeping staff with panic buttons. Karen Kent is president of the Unite Here One Hospitality Workers Union, who lobbied for the law after her union's survey of female housekeepers showed half of them experienced sexual harassment, often from guests.
I'm ashamed that I did not know how widespread the problem was. Some of our hotels are a city block. They work in isolation. They're in these rooms. There's a power imbalance.
Herskowitz, the workplace consultant, says even today, harassment often goes unreported.
The most common employee responses are to ignore the harassment and to endure it, to hope it will stop. And part of the reason is fear of retaliation.
She says she sees victims making public allegations as similar to the panic button. They're demanding immediate attention and sending a message that the existing system is not working. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.